Bibles and maybe your electronic devices, turn with me over to the book of Proverbs, and we'll be scouring our way through just a lot of passages, a lot of verses out of this. You know, Proverbs, I'm hoping, we've been in this series called Foolproof Life, and you know, we're just leaning into some of the wisdom out of the book of Proverbs topically. We're just kind of looking at it from different angles. And man, you know, Proverbs, if you've been reading that, and I hope you have, I've encouraged you to do that. And by the way, this is something that I do on occasion. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. There are 31 days in the month of May. So, you know, maybe this might set you on kind of a trajectory or on a course where you can just read one chapter of Proverbs a day. And that way, by the end of the month, you will have gone through the entire book. But if you have been reading, you notice it's really kind of it's a unique book. It's different, right? I mean, it's just like a random string of these like pithy sayings and just a lot of different information. And we've just been going through the book and we've kind of been looking at it topically, and we're just kind of grabbing some things and, you know, shoving them together top by topic and taking a look at them. And last Sunday, we started down a message on foolproof friendships, because the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about our relationships. It has a lot to say about how to develop and maintain good friendships. And one of the things we discovered as we jumped into this last week is this big idea that the quality of one's life is directly linked to the quality of one's relationships. Can we agree with this? It's very true, right? Proverbs 12:26, in light of that, Proverbs 12:26 has this to say, that the righteous choose their friends carefully. They choose their friends carefully. I mean, we established last Sunday the importance of being discerning in our relationships, and that it is wise to treat different people differently. You know, to not treat all people the same, despite what we may have been taught as kids, right? And it's true that everybody is indeed created in equal in the image and sight of God. However, not everybody is as safe, right? Not everybody is as sane. Not everybody is as godly. In fact, the book of Proverbs reveals that the people of this world are really comprised of three basic categories. We jumped into some of this last week. There are the wise, there are the foolish, and then there are the wicked. You know, they make that differentiation. And here's a passage that kind of addresses all three of them. We looked at it last week. He says here in Proverbs 24, he says, hey, do not envy the wicked. Don't desire their company, for their hearts plot violence and their lips talk about making trouble. The wise, here's your second category, the wise, they prevail through great power, and those who have knowledge muster their strength. I mean, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. Wisdom is too high for fools. Here's your third category, right? Wisdom is way too high for fools, and in the assembly at the gate, they must not even open their mouths, okay? So those are the three categories, right? In the Bible, particularly Proverbs, often differentiates people in these three categories. Some people are wise, some people that we know are foolish, and some people are just downright evil, correct? They're just wicked. There are some wicked people in this world. So therefore, it's important for us, therefore, to distinguish between the three, because that in turn then dictates the type and the level of relationship that we're to have with people. Okay, you have a different type of relationship with a wise person than what you would with a foolish person, true? And certainly, you know, certainly the type of relationship that you would maintain or share with a wicked person. They're different. And it just determines the level of access that we grant them, the level of influence that we permit to have upon us. That's what he means when he says to choose your friends carefully. Understand there are different types of people in the world, and therefore we give them different levels of access. Okay, we treat different people differently. And last Sunday, we looked into some of the characteristics of the wise and the foolish. We're going to go back over those just real quickly. And if you weren't here, all of our messages are recorded, and they're on our website. If you go to our website, in the very upper right-hand corner, there's a tab up there that says Messages, and you can track all that, and you can find that, and I encourage you to go back and listen. But we'll just real quickly here kind of surmise what we talked about last week. We talked about the wise people, and here were the characteristics of the wise. The first thing we learned about them was that wise people are humble. They're willing to acknowledge the fact that they don't know all that there is to know. And therefore, number two, they're very teachable. Okay, they're willing to learn. They're willing to gain an increase in knowledge. You know, and wise people are also very empathetic. And by empathetic, I mean they realize and know that, you know, my behaviors impact other people. You know, the decisions I make, the way that I behave, the things that I do, they impact the lives of other people around them. So they have empathy for people that are around them. And finally, they're people, they're just responsible, right? I mean, you give them responsibility and they'll fulfill it, right? I mean, they just realize that there are responsibilities in this life and that we're obligated then to shoulder those responsibilities. It's part of maturing. It's just a great part of our character. And so what we ended up with in last week is we talked about, what do you give, relationally speaking, what are we then to give to the wise people? Well, remember we talked about this. We give them what? We give them more. We give them more. We give them more time. We give them more access. We give them more influence. Why? Because they're a good return on the investment, right? They're just a good return on investment. These are the types of people that you can invest in and that you can spend time with because they're going to breathe life into you and not suck life out of you. Okay, so you need to be wise, okay? You need to be judicious in how you choose your friends, because you may not have noticed this or not, but I don't know about you or not, but I've got a limited amount. I know this is probably surprising, but I have a limited amount of time and of energy. True? And so we've got to be judicious, right, in how we spend that, right, and who we're going to invest that in. Okay, so, and it's wise to invest it in the wise. Then we talked about foolish people. These were the characteristics of the foolish. They'll be on the board behind me here. The first thing we learned last week is that they're proud. Foolish people don't necessarily lack intellect. What it is, though, they lack the humility to learn and to gain wisdom. And because they're proud and because they lack humility, therefore they're now unteachable, right? It's difficult to teach them anything because they think they know everything. That's the fool, okay? That's the foolish person. They have no desire whatsoever to increase in knowledge and in wisdom. And they're also very selfish. Proverbs 10:23 says, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. You know, they don't care, right? And they're just oblivious, right, to how their behaviors and their decisions, the collateral damage, therefore, that inflicts on those around them. And they're also very ignorant of how emotionally taxing and how financially expensive this can become for those that are caught up in their wake, right? And so that's part of the foolish people. They're also very irresponsible. When their foolish behaviors catch up with them and their lives become difficult, you know what a foolish person does, right? They'll just kind of seek out an overly responsible person, typically their parents, to transfer their responsibility to, right? They just back the truck up. We talked about it last week, you know, beep, 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 and they just dump it away, right? Mom and dad, hey, I've come up a little short again on the car payment. Can you bail me out? All right. Hey, mom and dad, you know, or hey, dude, I've lost my apartment. You know, can I come crash on your couch for a while? Right? Or, hey, dad, you know, I'm in jail again. Can you come bail me out? This is how foolish people behave, right? When the consequences of their behaviors become difficult, they just want to dump it, right? And it's overly responsible people, therefore, that are willing to take that stuff, right? And they take that from them. So regarding our relationships with the foolish, you know, what are we to give them? Well, we talked about this last week. We give them what? We give them less, right? Wise people, we give more. Foolish people, we give less. We give them less time. We give them less influence. We give them less access. And certainly give them less money, right? You don't want to give them more money. You've got to establish firm boundaries with foolish people and honor them at all costs, right? Nope, I am not going to give you any more money until you get and keep a little thing called a jobby job, right? Boundaries, okay? Nope, I'm not going to bail you out of jail because apparently you didn't learn a thing the last time. You know, nope, our couch is closed because it's our couch and it's closed, okay? Sometimes you don't even owe them an explanation, right? It's just closed, right? And it's important not to enable a foolish person, because in doing so, you steer them away from wisdom. You see, wisdom is best developed in the laboratory of consequences. I don't know if you've realized this or not yet, mom or dad, but you know, wisdom is best developed in the laboratory of consequences. Terry and I have raised a number of foster kids in our homes, and a lot of times they land in our homes because, you know, one of two things: either their parents were foolish or their parents were wicked. Okay, so they don't have much of a role model. And so we've had a number of these kids come through our homes, and Terry in particular, you know, has done a remarkable job of staying in touch with these girls and discipling them and mentoring them in their life. And they've stayed in touch for many years, and we typically, and particularly these two sisters, we try to, on their birthdays, we try to get them out to lunch. And we were about maybe a year or two ago, we had one of our former foster daughters out for lunch. And she has charted a hard course. She has. Man, she went through the whole, you know, rigmarole with the drugs, and she's been in and out of jail. And eventually she reached this point where she decided, this is enough. This is crazy. And I need to get my life together. This foolishness is getting to hurt. And, you know, she was able to flip it around. She's turned it around. She's got her entire life together. She's got a great job. She's been sober now for probably 5 or 6 years. She's just done a remarkable job. And she's got all of her, you know, all the charges that were against her. She's got all that expunged. She's got herself, you know, in a pretty good track. And we were talking to her about, you know, what was it? What flipped the switch? What was it that made the difference? And here's what she said. She said this. She says, you know, it took me a long time to learn that if you play stupid games, you get stupid prizes. Right? She said, it just took me a long time to learn that. And it was that series, you see, it was that series of stupid prizes that guided her toward wisdom. Right? Wisdom. And the problem is too many overly responsible people, parents in particular, intercept all those stupid prizes. You know, from their foolish friend or their foolish child, and that they should be awarded. Right? And they'll fight all their battles, they'll fix all their problems, and they wonder why they keep playing stupid games. It's right here. If you keep intercepting the stupid prizes that your kids have earned, right, and have merited, I don't know why it is you would think that they'd stop playing the stupid games. They're just going to keep doing it, right? And for people to grow wise, they need to shoulder their own responsibility, need to bear the consequences when they don't. You know, I've heard it said that, you know, young men are like trucks. They drive straighter and smoother when they're loaded with responsibility. Isn't that good? They just do. And you take the responsibility, you take the consequences away from them, and guess what? They're just going to swerve all over the place. Right? They're just going to keep swerving all over the place. And I know some of you, this is hard, this is a hard thing for you to do. And you might even see this as being harsh and unloving. However, it's not. You know, all this is getting out of the way and allowing God's immutable principle of sowing and reaping to play out. Right? And allow Him to guide the foolish person toward wisdom. Okay? So you got to set some boundaries, right? You got to set some boundaries. Look at this. This is a great passage right here. This is Proverbs 3. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than from silver. Her profits better than gold. She's more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Her ways are always, or her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So you give wise people more. We give, you know, foolish people less. Well, what about this third category? Let's talk a little bit this morning about the wicked. Okay, the wicked. Look what Proverbs 2 says. He says here that wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men. So there's your category, wicked men. From men whose words are perverse, who've left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So let me ask you, how many of you have discovered that there are some really wicked people living in this world? There are, right? I mean, they're everywhere. And Proverbs instructs us to steer clear of them. Right? We're to steer clear of them. And you might say, well, but Doug, we're supposed to trust everyone. We're to love everybody. We're to give everybody a chance because deep down inside they've got a good heart. No, they don't. No, they don't. Some people don't have a good heart. There are some really, really nasty people living in this world. And I've witnessed this firsthand. Again, back to our fostering circumstances, we had a young lady who came into our home, and she came into our home because her mother and her stepfather were just evil. They were plain evil. She was like 13 years old when she landed at our house. She had gone through many years of being raped by her stepfather, and her mother was complicit. In fact, her mother, the way the whole thing started was, her mother, you know, had two children. She was a single mom, so she got a little desperate. And she had a cousin who was in prison, not jail, prison. And she went to visit her cousin, and she says, hey, are there any good men in here that maybe I could meet? Right? Can you see where this is going, right? And so what, and long and the short of it is, he hooked her up with a tier two sex offender. He gets paroled, and she ends up getting hooked up with him. And then he began raping this foster daughter over and over and over, hundreds of times. And her mother was complicit in it. And I had an encounter with her one time, with our foster daughter with us, and we had kind of a run-in, and her mother, you know, was very angry with the daughter, not the guy, with the daughter. And I was right there when she looked at her with anger and said, if you would have just kept your little mouth shut and taken it, none of this would have happened. That's evil, right? I don't think there's any good in a heart like that. True? So there are some very wicked and heartless people that are out there. It says in verse 14 that there are evil people in the world who, it says here, they delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil. The New Living Translation kind of puts a little different spin on that. It says they enjoy the twisted ways of evil. You know, given the chance, foolish people and evil people both, they'll harm you, right? I mean, you've been in relationships with these folks, and both of them have a tendency to harm you. The difference is this, that foolish people harm you from time to time and do so unintentionally. A wicked person, on the other hand, will harm you with intent. You know, a foolish person, you know, sometimes when they realize that they've harmed us in some fashion, they typically are apologetic, right? And they'll say things like this, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, I never meant for that to hurt you. You know, you've probably had this conversation in your life. A wicked person is like, yeah, I know that hurt you, and that's exactly why I did it. I know your feelings were hurt, and that's exactly why I said what I said. That's the wicked person, and that's the difference, right? They love to induce pain. They like to inflict harm, and they enjoy the twisted ways of evil and like to injure people physically and emotionally. I mean, look at it again. Solomon, he talks bluntly about it. I mean, wisdom, he says, will save you from the ways of the wicked, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in the dark ways, who delight in doing wrong, rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and are devious. I mean, just look at some of these words that are in here, okay? What does he say? Wicked, perverse, dark, wrong, crooked, devious, right? I mean, these are the types of words, you know, these are not the types of words that you want describing your daughter's new boyfriend. True? Right? You know, they're like, Mom, Dad, you know, I'm so glad you're here. You know, I'd like for you, this is my new boyfriend, Hannibal. He's so cute, right? He's just adorable. I mean, he's just so perverse and devious, you know? And, you know, my daughter or granddaughter brings that guy home. I'm like, hey, Hannibal, is it? Why don't you come help me clean my shotguns? Because I got some really big ones, right? You know, that's kind of going to be my posture in that, right? Here's a little bit about the wicked. First and foremost, they're dangerous. They're dangerous or destructive. Some of you know people like this, right? I mean, if they show up at your house, it's like, oh, boy, you know. It's like they're showing up with a grenade with the pin pulled, and you're just kind of left wondering, how in the world am I going to get away from this and get my family away from this without being blown up? That person, maybe they've shown up on your step at a time or two. Proverbs 29:10 says that the bloodthirsty hate a person of integrity, and they seek to kill the upright. I was reading a news story this week about a mother out in Washington State just this past week murdering her 4-year-old son by stabbing him 41 times and then dumped his body out alongside of a freeway though, as though it were a sack of garbage, all over a custody dispute. That's wicked, right? It's wicked. It's bloodthirsty. So wicked people are dangerous. Also, wicked people are threatening. They're threatening. Proverbs 28:15 says this, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over helpless people. You know, I know some men that are like that. You know, they dominate their wives and their children with a vulgar tongue and a clenched fist. And their wives and their kids, you know, can't say anything to them because they're scared of them. And if you met this guy and you talked to this person, they actually revel in this sort of an arrangement because it gives them this macho feeling that they're in control. True? They're the alpha male. And that everybody else in the household is just merely a subordinate. If this in any way describes any of you men, you need to know that this is evil. It's evil. And the behavior like this does not go unpunished. It does not go unpunished. And then lastly, wicked people, they feel entitled. They feel entitled. How many of you have heard or are familiar with the phrase, hurt people hurt people? Have you heard this? You know, hurt people have a tendency to hurt people. And a lot of times, wicked people behave wickedly because they've been deeply hurt at some point in their lives. Right? I mean, it's like a learned behavior. And they will rationalize their evil treatment of others by thinking, hey, listen, I was harmed and harassed by someone at some point in my life. And therefore, it's okay for me to harm and to harass other people. That's their mentality. Right? That's what gets ingrained in their minds. And studies indicate that the majority of folks who abuse their spouse and their children were themselves abused as a child. Right? People who molest children were themselves molested as a kid. And it's not just men. Right? But there are some very wicked women out there as well. Very wicked women as well. So, what do you do with a wise person? You give them more. Right? More time, more access, more love. What do you do with a foolish person? You give them less. Right? Less time, less access, less exposure, less money. Well, regarding our relationships, then what do you give to the wicked? You give them nothing. Right? You give them nothing. Relationally speaking, you give them nothing. Proverbs 24:1 says, "Do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company." He's saying here simply that it's completely unwise for anybody to enter a relationship with a wicked person. And just let me ask you, how many of you know folks who ignored this advice, jumped into a relationship with an evil person, and lived to regret it in the end? Right? I've seen this countless times in my years of ministry. And I'll tell you, I've never once seen it work out well. I've never once seen it work out well. However, there are occasions where these relationships are unavoidable. Because sometimes the wicked person is your dad or your mom. Sometimes it's your stepbrother or your stepsister, right? I mean, how does the old saying go? But you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. You know, sometimes your son or your daughter got involved with this wicked person and sort of dragged you into the mess. And some of us have been there. Other times, the wicked person is a coworker. Or maybe it's an employee that you inherited. Well, if that's your circumstances, okay, regardless of how you got there, here's what you need to know. When obligated to be in some fashion of a relationship with a wicked person, that relationship must remain strictly professional. It's got to remain strictly professional. Talk to my attorney. You need to be talking to your, you need to be sharing this information with your therapist. It needs to stay completely professional. And I need you to catch this, okay? Please get this. Wicked people aren't beyond all help. It's just that they're beyond your help, okay? Unless you're the Holy Spirit of God or a clinical psychologist, these folks are beyond your help. Right? I mean, these folks, they need to be loved, right? But what they need is they need God and a professional who can give them the help that they need. Okay? Know your limits. You know your limits. But I know that there are some that are like have this like savior complex, or there are others that have like this rescuer mentality who say or think, you know what? I think I can fix them. Right? I mean, they're like a moth to the flame. And some people will even get romantically involved with a wicked person, believing that I can fix him, right? Or I can love her out of this. No, you can't. No, you can't. And here's why. It's because they're drowning, right? And they have no desire for a lifeguard. They have no desire whatsoever for someone to come and to save them, right? And so swimming in after them, friends, all it does is just it puts you in harm's way. That's all it does. It just puts you in harm's way. And I know we could have people stand up here and give testimonies about right now, about how you've seen this play out in your own circumstances. Proverbs 25:26 says this. This is a great little verse right here. It says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. You think you're going to clean them up, and all you're going to do is you're going to get muddied. Right? All they're going to do, you're just going to get polluted. Leave it to the Lord, okay? And leave it to the professionals. Right? When it comes to the wicked, relationally speaking, you give them nothing. You give them nothing. So where is all this going? Well, let's just real quickly here, let's wrap it up here with this. On the back of your outline there, I talk about there's these six kinds of relationships, okay? So let's kind of piece these together a little bit, okay? What does a relationship look like when you've got a wise person hooked up with a foolish person? That relationship becomes parental, okay? It becomes parental. You see, the wise person ends up looking after and tending to the foolish person and their annex, much like a parent does to a child, right? And for the wise person, this can become very frustrating relationally. It can become very frustrating. We had a young lady in our church out in Maryland who was married to a bit of a fool. Just keeping it real. I mean, but I'll tell you what, he was foolish, but man, he was a lot of fun to be around. All right? Some foolish people are like that, right? I mean, he was a good friend of mine, right? And he was a lot of fun, but man, he was just a fool, right? He was very foolish in his behavior. He was like the life of the party. And this is what initially attracted her to him. But let me let you in a little something. It's fun partying, right, with the life of the party. However, it's a whole nother thing to be married to them, okay? It's a whole nother thing to be married to them. I mean, out of frustration, one night she was sitting actually talking to Terry and Bebo, and out of frustration, she said this one time. She says, you know what, Doug, there are days that I don't know if I married this guy or gave birth to him. Right? It's, you know, a wise person connected with a fool, and that relationship becomes like a parental relationship. And she asked me, could you please try to talk some sense in him? And he and I were friends. They were part of our journey group. And so we were out golfing one afternoon, and I decided to kind of broach the subject with him. And, you know, I had that kind of friendship with him. I said, so tell me, I mean, how's your marital relationship? How's your marriage going? And he kind of hem-hauled around, but eventually he got around to saying this, you know, Doug, there are some days that it just feels like I'm married to my mother. You see, theirs was the quintessential wise, foolish relationship. Let me ask you this. How do you think that was working out for the two of them romantically? A little awkward, right? A little weird. Just a little weird. So that's the wise with the foolish. That's going to turn into kind of a parental relationship. What about the wise with the wicked? What about the wise with the wicked? This relationship is a distant relationship. Wicked people often want to close the distance and get close with wise people, which is why it's crucial for the wise people to establish and maintain boundaries. Nope, I am not giving you my cell phone number. Nope, I will never tell you where I live. Nope, you cannot come to my house. Nope, I will never go out with you. Nope, you cannot date my daughter. Nope, I will not go into business with you. Nope, I will not hire the likes of you, right? You've got to keep it distant, right? Distance. Wise people must establish and maintain a healthy distance from wicked people. Now, allow me for a minute, if you don't mind, to talk to some of the single folks. Or maybe, you know, we've got folks in our church who are single, and some of you are single again. I beg of you, okay, please, never settle for a wicked person. Don't do it. Don't do it. I've known single Christians, men and women alike, right, whose biological clocks got the better of them. And out of desperation, they got hooked up with an evil person. Again, thinking, I can fix them. Right? I mean, thinking that they could rescue them. And I've never seen this work out well. And do you know why? It's because the wicked people don't sense the need to be rescued. Right? They don't see themselves as being broken in need of being fixed. And I'm telling you, it's just best not to settle. Oh, but Doug, you have no idea how terrible it is to be single. It's so lonely. I mean, there's nothing worse than this. Oh, yeah, there is. There certainly is. And that's being married to a wicked person, right? That's being cheated on by a wicked person. That's being beaten by a wicked person. That's by being harassed. That's by being stalked, right? By a wicked person. And I've seen it all. I've seen it all. And I'm telling you, friends, you've got to keep your distance, right? Proverbs 24:1 again, do not envy the wicked. Do not desire their company. Do not desire their company. Well, what about the foolish with the wise? Or what about the foolish and the foolish? Let's talk about the foolish and the foolish for a minute, okay? This is your classic codependent relationship, right? I mean, these are two people of the party together. These are two people who, you know, who commit crimes together. These are two people who are both foolish and enable one another's foolish behaviors. That's the codependent relationship. And man, I've seen this play out. I mean, we had a young lady one time, part of one of our small groups, not here, but in one of our small groups, and her husband just could not get off the drugs, right? I mean, and he would come, he would engage for a while, then he would disappear. He'd steal all her money, all her kids' money, and go on a bender, and she'd have to go bail him out of some crack house somewhere, and she would beg the group, please pray for him, you know, he needs help. And they would get him in, we would steer her toward help, they'd get him into a rehab facility. She couldn't stand it. After about 2 weeks, she'd go bail him out, like every time. And the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, she went out again, bailed him out, right, out of a rehab again. He winds up stealing all the money again, goes up to a crack house. Okay, she goes up, bails him out, brings him home. Well, then she said, that's it, I've had enough, I'm done with you, right? So he went out and found another. She couldn't stand that. And you know what she did? She lured him back home. And you know how she did it? A bag of marijuana. A bag of marijuana. That's the foolish with the foolish. Okay, it's a codependent relationship. What about the foolish and the wicked? The foolish and the wicked, this is an abusive relationship. I mean, you can mark this down, friends. Evil people will use and abuse a foolish person every day of the week, twice on Sundays. I mean, because the foolish people are just that, right? They're foolish. And they're an easy mark for wicked people, right? Because evil people are very shrewd and they're very calculating, you know, in how they form their relationships. And it just becomes incredibly abusive or destructive. What about the wicked and the wicked? Oh, boy. What about the wicked with the wicked? This is a dangerous or destructive relationship right here. I mean, this is like two barrels of a shotgun. I mean, this is like your Bonnie and your Clyde type relationship, right? And these people, they get together and it just kind of becomes like synergy. And the evilness between them, I mean, it just becomes multiplied. This is the type of relationship where two evil people come together. They just form this unholy alliance and they just wreak utter havoc. Right, we saw this not long ago. It's still in the courts, down around Southeast Ohio, where the family got involved in a custody battle. And what did they do? They conspired together, husband and wife, and they decided they're going to teach their ex daughter-in-law a lesson. Murdered her, shoved her into a well, and then killed 8 members of her family. That's wicked on wicked. Okay, that's wicked on wicked. And then finally, obviously, what about the wise with the wise? This is your healthy relationship right here, right? This is the one you desire right here, okay? Because, you know, the love reciprocates. They don't suck the life out of you. They actually breathe life into you. And so these are the types, if you're a wise person, these are the types of relationships that you'll cling to, right? These are the type that you want. You want to choose your friends wisely and not foolishly. So let's wrap it up here. I honestly believe in life, you can have a great strategy for your finances. You can have a great plan. You can have a great strategy for your health. Get on a good rhythm of eating right, hitting the gym. However, if you don't have a good strategy for your relationships, those other two will gain you nothing. They'll gain you nothing. And the reason for that is because I believe with all my heart that the quality of your relationships, they determine the quality of your life. And so you've got to do as Proverbs says, right? And you got to choose your friends carefully. Get the right people in the right lanes. That's not being judgmental, right? It's being judicious, right? It's being wise. You know, understanding that different people behave differently, and not all people are as safe as others, right? Not all people are as sane as other people. Not all people are as godly as other people, and you've got to treat them differently, right? You've got to be judicious in that and choose your friends carefully. As it pertains to choosing our relationships, I can think of no greater relationship to choose than that of a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? He'll fix your problems, right? And if you're here today, you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got a huge sin problem, right? And there's eternal consequences to that. And just thanks be to God that in His grace and His mercy, He sent His Son Jesus Christ to come to this earth and to die, a substitution death. He took a death that we owed, right? And He paid that. And therefore, He's just opened the door of heaven for us. And what we need to do is be in a relationship with His Son Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to make a difference on the day you die or the day you meet the Lord, is whether or not you were in a relationship with His Son, right? Whether or not your name is in that Lamb's Book of Life. And if you're uncertain of that in any form or fashion, we're going to sing this song of commitment now. And if you'd like to discover more about that, just come on forward. We can talk with you, meet you where you are. And maybe you're here and you're saying, hey, I'd like to be baptized today. We have that available as well. So why don't we stand together? We're going to sing this song, I Surrender All. We'll sing just the first and the last verse together. And you come as we sing.